Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Hopefully not one like 2020, but something very different. My sermon title is, Does Jesus Celebrate Christmas? Yeah, that sounds like a fun title where he asks the question, well, does he every Christmas 25th say, Happy birthday to me, happy birthday? I do think he does. But I think it is for a completely different reason than why you and I celebrate birthday. We celebrate birthdays because it's our birthday. But I think he celebrates it for other reasons besides the fact that he is birthday. In my first sermon, I talked about the fact it's the day he transformed from being God alone to be both God and man, God and human. And I think that is very significant to him. Today we will ask, this second sermon we would ask the question, well, does Jesus celebrate Christmas? Again, the answer is yes, but this time, why does he celebrate Christmas? Okay, but for that, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there something that God cannot do? Now, you are probably hesitant to answer that. The last person who answered me, I kind of embarrassed them by saying, really? We teach a song to our kids. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, that's nothing my God cannot do. Okay? Nice song, so totally wrong theologically. Okay? Is there something God cannot do? Any brave souls? Thank you. He cannot lie. Yeah? In philosophy, there is this question. God is so big and so mighty, so strong. Does he build a rock so big that he can't carry it? Yeah? Same. Excellent answer. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says, God cannot lie. Malachi 3:6 says, God cannot change. God cannot change. He says, Hear, O Israel, I do not change. I cannot change. So he remains faithful to them. This one y'all would like. Psalm 89:34 says, God does not break a promise. So when he makes a promise to Abraham to bless and give them children, he doesn't break that promise. When he makes a promise to Noah, he would never again flood the world with water and destroy entire humanity, he doesn't break the promise. And that's a good thing for you and me, right? Because we need to have a God that we can trust. In Hebrews, we have this thing, kind of said it reversely, God cannot be pleased unless people have faith in him. It is impossible to please God without faith, where we get the word impossibility. God cannot lie. God cannot change. He cannot break a promise. He cannot be pleased without faith in us. Faith in us having in him. And again, I hope you like this one. He cannot get tired and he cannot sleep. He has insomnia, which is a good thing for us because when Pastor Rick and Susan are awake and are in trouble, we are all sleeping. And then when we are all in trouble, they are sleeping. And we need a God who is awake all through the day, all through the night. So he can answer both the Griffith's problems and as well as our problem. Yeah, I grew up in India, and there is this place between my house and my grandparents' house that we go through on the bus, where when you get to a point, devotees would toss coin in. And the coins would make a sound, clink, clink, clink sound, and immediately they put fireworks on the other side. And one time when I asked my grandpa, why are they putting firecrackers? They said, oh, that is to wake up their gods who are asleep. Isn't that a good thing? We don't have to carry firecrackers with us to wake up our God before we ask him for help. Yeah, he doesn't get tired. He doesn't sleep. I love this one, Psalm 51:17, King David's prayer. God cannot despise a broken heart. Yeah, I love that passage. He can ignore a rebellious heart. He can ignore a I can do it all heart. But one that is broken, he cannot despise. He just melts. Yeah, and we see that in the Lord Jesus. Every time he sees someone in pain, he cries or he heals or he relieves them of their pain. Yeah, he cannot despise a broken heart. Now, aren't you glad all these things God cannot do? Yeah, so the next time we say, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, that something he cannot do. Please don't teach that to your children. He can do everything except he cannot lie, he cannot change, he cannot break a promise, he cannot be pleased without faith, he cannot get tired or sleep, and he cannot despise a broken heart. I love the next one. God cannot forget his people. Aren't we glad that he cannot? Isaiah 49:15 says, I want to forget you guys. You are the troublemakers. But I have a big problem. I can't forget you guys. Yeah, I am so grateful that one such impossibility is with God, right? He cannot forget his people. There's one more thing he cannot do, which is mentioned in Hebrews 2:18. It says in Hebrews 2:18, starting from verse 14, it says, he became flesh and blood because children are flesh and blood. And then in verse 17, it says, he became their high priest. But then there is a problem. A high priest, a priest that stands in the place of the children, or place of humanity, he needs to be able to understand what the humanity goes through. Otherwise, he cannot be a perfect high priest. Yeah? Imagine you go to your high priest, or your priest, and say, would you on my behalf pray to God that I have a horrible backache? And the priest says to you, what is a backache? I don't know what a backache is. What is that? Or you say to him, I have a horrible crisis with my workmates. And the high priest says, what are workmates? What are crises? I don't understand what you're saying. I can't take that to God. Go take care of yourself. Yeah? A high priest, one who represented people to God, must be able to understand what people go through. That's why all the high priests in the Old Testament were chosen from people. Chosen from people who are usually older guys who have gone through struggles in life, knows what pain is, knows what suffering is, knows what heartache is, knows what betrayal is. And then they can plead on your behalf. There was something that the Lord Jesus could not do. Even though he created us, even though he created the humanity, he could not identify with our sufferings, our feelings, our heartaches, our physical, mental anguish. He could not identify until he was born a human. So in verse 18, to Hebrews 2:18, it says, in which, in his high priesthood, for the first time, he is able to help those who are tested/tempted. Now, to understand this before, I need to explain one more thing. The word there is peraso. Peraso is a word that has two meanings. On the one hand, it means test. On the other hand, it means tempt. Testing and temptation. Now, what is testing? I love a show called Forged by Fire. And I don't even know why I got addicted to it, but it's basically they put a whole bunch of metals in a little tiny can and put some metal dust with it, and then they put it in fire, and it just stays an extremely hot fire, and then they put it in press, they press it hard, they beat it, eventually all the impurities falls off, and it becomes an amazing knife or sword. Now, some of them apparently take 2-3 weeks to do it, but in this particular competition, they give them 3 hours to get them done. But it also tests the person who makes the knife or the sword. Testing, Peter tells us, is what happens to a gold. Gold comes in a dirty form called gold ore. And they take it and they put it into the fire. They put it under extreme heat so that the dirt will remove. But the gold master, I don't know if that's his name, gold master knows when not to keep the gold too long in the fire. Because when he keeps it too long, it will burn. But he knows the same way with the knife masters that I see. They keep it just enough so that the impurities come off of it, but at the same time, the purity stays in and it becomes a stronger, impure metal or gold that can withstand test of life. That's a testing. Matter of fact, James tells us, you can look at this when you go home, James 1:12-15, it says, God tests his people. I'll read to you the verse. God's favorite is a person who faces testing, because only by proving the genuineness can a person receive the crown of life that God had promised to those who love him. God puts his people through testing to see their purity. Take the Old Testament saints. They were in the desert. No water. Will they trust God? Or would they fail their test? Unfortunately, often they fail the test. Then he would give them manna after manna after manna, which was, what is this? And they would say, we need some meat. Testing that they failed. Now, when we come to the Lord Jesus, he goes through 3 testing for 40 days, no food, no drink. And then in the process, he is being purified to be a solid gold that could be proven by testing. James continues on to say the same word. That's why it gets a little tricky. He goes on to say, but when temptations come, no one should say, I am being tempted by God. You know why? God is untemptable by evil, and he tempts no one. He is unable to tempt other people with evil. This is one more inability of our God, right? He cannot use evil to tempt people. He can test people, but he cannot tempt people with evil. What is temptation? Now, unfortunately, I yield to it way too many times, so I'm a good example. Are we supposed to eat food? Yes, it is required for survival. But should I have a big belly? That's temptation. Lori is a great cook. I go to the kitchen. I open the refrigerator. I look the food. I just had my lunch. but I yield to temptation again and again. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, each person is tempted by his or her own desires that draws them away and entangles them and eventually leads to death. Testing and temptation are the same word. But one comes from God, that is called testing. The other comes from either one's own flesh, or, John tells us, comes from the world and comes from sin. Yeah? So there are Satan. So there are three sources from which temptations come from. They come from the one's own desires, from the world and from Satan, or testing comes from God. Now, all of the temptation is to lead us to sin and death. But the testing from God is to see our purity. I failed during COVID time. Some of you know my story. Because I didn't realize it was a test. If I knew it was a test and if I held on to my faith, I would have been okay. But I didn't realize it as a test. Eventually I did. Yeah, a test where my faith is proven strong. Now going back to the Lord Jesus, the verse says, though in his priesthood, he is able to help those who are tested / tempted because he himself was tested / tempted. He was tested by the Holy Spirit. Remember how the verse began in the testing of the Lord? It says, when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit led him to the desert to be tested. That part from the Holy Spirit, who cannot be tempted by evil or tempts no one by evil, that part is testing. The first 40 days in the wilderness was testing. At the end of the testing comes Satan. He comes and he tempts the Lord three times, at least that we know of. Turn rocks into bread, jump off the cliff, angels will hold you, bow down and worship me. Holy Spirit tests him. Evil tempts him. And he wins both of them. And being human, and one who can understand what testing is and pass the testing, and what tempting is and resisted the tempting, he is able to help you and me when we are either tested and we seek his help, or we are tempted and we cry out to him for help. So does the Lord Jesus celebrate Christmas? Yes. Because what he was unable to do in his divinity, now he is able to do in his humanity. He could test his fellow brothers and sisters. He can help when they are being tested, because he knows what it is being tested by God to prove our worthiness. And he can help us in the midst of our temptation because he knows what it is to be tempted by the evil one three times. Matter of fact, it goes on to say, and Satan went away until an opportune time. Because he would come again through Peter and say, don't go to the cross. Take an easy way out. Yeah? So the Lord Jesus celebrates Christmas. He sings, happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me. But he celebrates it because he can identify with our testings and our temptations, and as a faithful high priest, he can help us in our time of testing and in our time of temptations. So don't hesitate to ask him for help in the midst of testing or temptation. Now, if you have not understood what I have said, and you do not know the Lord Jesus for who he is, don't go away without asking any one of the men or women who know who the Lord Jesus is. He is God who had become human so that he can go to the cross, die, pay for our sins, resurrect, and bring us eternal life. Don't wait too long to get to know him, because when you do, you are fighting your battles all alone. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we really are grateful that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be like us, God with us, Emmanuel, so that he could not only be tested and tempted, overcome testing and tempting and be victorious, and then turn around and help us who are being tested and or tempted. Help us, Father, to not forget this lesson and cry out to our high priest, the Lord Jesus, in our times of trials, testing, and temptations. In his name we pray. Amen.